This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Oh, good morning, Paul, and welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be back, and you come back to sunshine and beautiful weather again. Julie, we're going to talk about a few things, but I just sent you through. We had this big news this morning that the Daintree microgrid grant has been signed, sealed, and funds delivered, almost $1 million for a feasibility study to allow Daintree Renewable Energy Proprietary Limited to take the 100% renewable microgrid project to shovel-ready within 12 months. Been delivered. Now, Warren Ince says the proposed microgrid would reduce the World Heritage Area's reliance on 4 million litres of diesel fuel per year. And they're certainly hoping that the Douglas Shire Council and the state government will get behind this. What do you say?
Look, first of all, I'm very much looking forward to the meeting tonight. It's a public meeting, which is great, so anyone can attend. And I know that certainly the Deputy Mayor Abigail and myself will be going up there. And so that's that opportunity to find out a lot more about what the feasibility study will cover and also the impacts and the opportunities.
Okay, now that just letting people know that's at 6:30 at Heritage Lodge in the Daintree. And as you heard, the Mayor Julie Alloy will be there, the Deputy Mayor will be there, Warren Inch will be there, and Vault Advisory Services will be there to explain the process forward on the next stage of this. In the past, of course, Julie, you have mentioned that you had some doubts about the grid in the past. You've said that.
Look, I suppose I also wanted to know more details at the time. We do know that there are a number of options. Everyone wants to reduce the reliance on diesel. That's very clear. It's also about the fact that it's a very special area. It's not just, say, a particular big patch of land out in Western Queensland, for example. It is the World Heritage Daintree Rainforest. So that makes this a lot more complicated in terms of what we would expect and what will be gains for the residents and also gains for the environment.
Absolutely. And just 6:30 at Heritage Lodge, and the public, as Julia and I have said, are most welcome tonight. And I think things will become a lot clearer after tonight. Well, Julia, the Douglas Shire Council, and it's fantastic, and we're telling people about it here on Fab FM, has released an expression of interest for local business representatives to apply for a position on the Economic Strategic Review Committee. Now, the committee will help council review the current economic development strategy and help the community discover new and innovative initiatives to support our local economy. Now, some at the think tank, the recent think tank, expressed the opinion, Julia, that you should not be the chair of that committee and an independent strategic expert should be in charge. What do you say to that?
Oh, dear. Look, I suppose what I say is that this is a council initiative. And as mayor and the elected mayor, it's very usual for a mayor to chair council initiatives. Certainly what we're hoping to get is a really good cross-section of our community to help us review our current economic development strategy. And so as part of that, we're seeking at least 7 local business leaders. We want a mix of business types and sizes. And we really want to have an opportunity for everyone to offer their opinions, give us their ideas, and also be able to share their knowledge. And this is a really exciting initiative. I'm personally very excited about this. As I've already said, it is a council initiative, but we're certainly working very closely with the Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, because what we want is we want to get together experts in their own field. We have experts within our community, and that's what we want to draw upon. Mm. And so definitely, we know that our local businesses, and look, I've been talking to a lot of people in the last few days, and a lot of people have actually texted me or emailed me or approached me even when I've been in local shops. And I had a great conversation with someone in Mossman just on Saturday afternoon. People are very switched on. They want to have this opportunity. And the other thing is, I just want to stress to everyone, I know that it's quite a time commitment and not everyone is able to really even offer themselves up as being part of this new committee. But you can submit a submission, if you like, and also a survey. So we're really encouraging people to fill in the survey, and all the details are on our website.
Okay, you're talking about seven members of, or seven business people to join the committee. So how many, I just want to get an idea of this. So seven people there, how many from council will be on the committee, and what will be the total number?
Okay. Look, first of all, there will be Mark Stormer, of course, our CEO, and he will be the facilitator. And he has exceptional credentials. And I should say, if anyone's interested in my economic credentials, I've got 4 degrees. I've got a Bachelor of Arts, a Graduate Diploma in Communication, a Graduate Diploma in Education, and also a Master's of Business Administration. And anyone who's done an MBA knows how extensive that particular degree is. So there's a lot of expert knowledge already from council. We have Terry Farrelly and also Lisa Golding. Terry Farrelly is our executive manager and also Lisa is our economic development officer. So we've got 4 of us from council. We certainly also have invited Tara Bennett from Tourism Port Douglas Daintree and Liz, president of the Chamber of Commerce. So what we'll do is, depending on the nominations, we may be able to expand the committee. What we're really looking for is people who really want to work together and also have some knowledge and ideas and that they want to share. And so it'll be a great process. I think it's a wonderful new initiative, and I really encourage everyone to nominate, or if you can't nominate, make sure you fill in the survey.
Absolutely. Ditto to that. Julie, to promote community confidence, all candidates intending to run for council at the local government election coming up in March, including sitting councillors and mayors who plan to run again, and that is you, are now required to complete an online training course before they nominate. Now, what sort of training do they and you need?
Look, it's a really interesting thing. As you're probably aware, it's all part of a sort of reform process that's been going on with local government from the state government as part of a response to some particular, I suppose, corruption that's occurred in southeast Queensland. And I won't go into all that, but there's certainly been a number of charges and even some mayors and CEOs have been jailed. When they're investigating all that, I suppose they thought, well, maybe it's really good if candidates actually find out a little bit more about what they're in for before they nominate. I've thought that this was a good idea for a very long time. I certainly know from my own experience that new councillors who haven't ever had anything to do with local government in the past certainly find that it often can take a whole term before people are really au fait with the hundreds of pieces of legislation, the way we go about our town plan, our corporate plan, our operational plan, how effective is consultation, for example. But there are certainly certain rules and legislations that all councillors, just in terms of their own conduct, have to comply with. I haven't done the training yet. I'm looking forward to doing it. And then I could probably answer a little bit more about what sort of things they ask. It's open to anyone. Anyone can do the training if they like. You don't have to be a candidate.
No, I think that's good. And I can remember the last time Mark Stormer was talking at the think tank, and he was explaining in very simple terms, I thought, about how council works. And for people outside of council, you know, it's not as simple as it looks. It kind of from the outside does. But when you look at the nuts and bolts of everyday activity for a council, it can get a little bit complicated.
Look, it is very complex. And that's the word I've used for a very long time. You know your community, and in a small community, and most of the time, candidates do come from a level of sort of public service, even by way of a sporting organisation or a community group of any type. However, once you get to become a councillor, internally, it is quite different. And I certainly remember, particularly in 2012, when I was re-elected on the Cairns Regional Council, there was a big change as most of the unity candidates came in with Bob Manning. And I certainly heard a number of them say, oh my God, I had no idea. And because they thought they were able to come in and sort of change land tenure immediately and allow, say, some sporting group to use an area without going through a process. Mm. There are processes and we have no choice but to follow those. And sometimes we get blamed because we are actually following things that we we have to do by law.
We're talking with Mayor Julia Loy at the moment, and Julia, Queensland, and hopefully the Douglas Shire will enter a next phase of war on waste very, very soon. Now, this could see state government legislation introduced next year to prohibit further single-use plastics. Now, of course, we had the statewide ban on single-use grocery bags last year. As far as I'm concerned, bring it on, Julia.
I couldn't agree with you more, Paul. I think the only way to do this is by legislation, making things compulsory, whilst a lot of people are really happy to do these things voluntarily. After a while, it just becomes commonplace and everyone gets used to it. And I love actually just watching everyone walking into the supermarkets, even here in Mosman and Port Douglas, with their bags. Most of us have got them sitting in our car. And I think the other thing is it's made everyone think about all other ways that we can work together to reduce single-use plastic. It's a bit like the packaging issue that I was talking to you, I think, just the last few weeks. There's a voluntary code with the packaging, and the local government at their annual conference passed a resolution to actually try and get both levels of government, particularly the federal government, to make it mandatory, not voluntary, because that's the only way that will actually reduce that packaging that we need to do from source.
Absolutely. Now, this is good news, Julia. Two students from Mosman State High School, Year 10 students, Ebony, now I'll try to pronounce this as correctly as I can, Ebony Birchall Stronenberger and Ellie Zilflush. Would that be right?
Not quite. Certainly Ebony and Ellie. Very proud of them. Only Year 10, Mosman State High School students, and they've got this great idea with sunblock, which is very good for the environment. And they're down in, I think, Canberra as we speak.
Yeah.
And so looking forward to having a chat to them when they come back. Mosman High School is a great high school, and I know my boys went there. They were all able to do exactly what they wanted to when they finished school. And so I think that it's testament to the science department as well and the school that we've had two of our own chosen to present their big ideas at the national level.
Yes, that's the Big Ideas Forum put on by the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation. And let me get those names absolutely correct. Ebony Birchall Schonenberger.
Schonenberger, that's correct.
Schonenberger, yes. And Ellie Zilflush.
Zilflush. I may not have it quite correct, but Zilflush is, actually it's a very well-known name in Port Douglas.
Right.
Very sadly. A former councillor in the 90s with some other councillors, a former Douglas Shire councillor with some other councillors across the region, were killed in a plane crash.
Oh.
And it was very sad. They were coming back from a North Queensland local government conference together. And there's a park named in his honour. And these are grandchildren.
Yeah.
So it's very sad.
Very sad.
It's a well-known name.
All right. I shall find out how to pronounce that exactly in honour of that person who passed away. And I want to find out a little bit more about that. I love these local stories. And although that's a sad one, I'd like to find out a little bit more about what they did as a councillor, who they were as a person. I love finding out about those stories, as you do in the Douglas Shire.
Well, yeah, it was a 20-year reunion. Not reunion, exactly, my apologies. A memorial 20 years after that. And that was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I can't quite remember whether I was still on CRC or whether we were back with Douglas. And we were invited up to the site where nearby where the crash occurred, and there is a big memorial. And so many people certainly in local government certainly remember that, because it was a huge tragedy at the time, of course.
All right, I'm going to find out more. Tens of thousands, Julia, of decorative fairy lights illuminated McRossan Street, Port Douglas, when the switch was officially flicked on. We've been waiting a while for this. It is fantastic we've got the lights up at last.
Look, we were so excited on Friday night. There was a lot of people who came down, and it was quite a night of celebration. And they look fantastic. I've been getting texts and emails all weekend. I was in Macrossan Street for a little while, of course, after we flicked the switch, and a lot of people were coming up to us and me and saying how great it was. We have been working on this for a while. It's a combination of ensuring that, you know, we had the right budget and really we had the technology advice on how to actually make it work properly.
No, it's terrific. And people have been saying for a long time we should have those, and we've now got them. Now, Julia, today, just to finish up, you've got a special meeting on today. That is to look, what is the purpose of this meeting today?
Okay, look, we're actually formally adopting our annual report today. That's something that's under the legislation that we have to do. And certainly, I think this annual report is just, it's fantastic. It certainly details everything that we've been doing in the 2018-19 year. And so more than $30 million worth of projects in the 12-month period, 56 capital works projects, over 800,000 to external organisations. Certainly some of the highlights are the opening and completion of the Port Douglas Water Reservoir. Just to name a few, the new crocodile theme pump track in Mossman, repairs to the Flagstaff Hill walking trail, and also our record-breaking Port Douglas Carnival that we organised in-house, and that injected $1.7 million into the region over 10 days. We also provide rate rebates totaling just under $500,000 for pensioners and other eligible concessions. But the real thing for me is that this is really a celebration of the success of the new council since de-amalgamation. They told us that we would go broke, never get any grants, not survive on our own. And I'm really thrilled to say that we have proved them wrong. And so in the past 5 years, we've delivered record capital works. We've shaken off loan borrowings to achieve a debt-free status. We've had a general rate rise last year of only 1.8%. That was the lowest for as long as I can remember, and I'll certainly be continuing that if I've got the opportunity into the future. And so this is a celebration, and that's what the annual report details in terms of people if they want to come along to the meeting. That's up at 9:30. But look, before that, Paul, we have a very important service here at Council this morning, and that's a Remembrance Day service.
Yes.
And that starts at 10:30. And so I'd very much like to invite anyone who wants to, is able to come to the council. As I said, it starts at 10:30. Obviously, we all know that at 11 a.m., that's when we stop and certainly reflect and remember on what has occurred for so many families in terms of people throughout many conflicts since World War I.
Absolutely. Julia Loy, thank you for your time today, and I'll see you at the meeting at 6:30 at Heritage Lodge, re the grid.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.